The annual children's Christmas pageant went well. Mary and Joseph came to Bethlehem on cue. They were met by the same 9-year-old innkeeper that you would expect, who dutifully informed them that though he would love to help them out, if he could, again this year there was no room in the inn. Sorry, no vacancy, like the sign says, out front. But then he looked again at Mary and Joseph, who really did look tired from the journey, and the innkeeper blurted out, "But there's a great motel with cable just around the corner from the church." And the pageant was in a shambles. That is not the way the story of Mary, Joseph, and the innkeeper is supposed to go. Or is it? You know how the story goes. Mary and Joseph came to Bethlehem for the government's enrollment, and there, because everyone was from out of town and there was no room at the inn, so Mary was forced to give birth to Jesus in a cow stall because there was no place for them at the inn. But scholar Kenneth Bailey has pointed out what our Bibles translate as inn is in the Greek kataluma, which means literally guest room, not hotel or inn. Later, in Jesus' story of the Good Samaritan, the wounded man in that story is taken to a pandakion, which does mean inn. But here, Luke says there was no room for Mary and Joseph in the kataluma, no room for them in the family guest room. So they had to be placed elsewhere in the home. The actual wording does not really say there was no room in the inn, but rather there was no appropriate place in the guest room. In the typical Mideastern home, says Bailey, there is a designated room for overnight visitors. It would be unthinkable, according to Middle Eastern tradition and hospitality, for out-of-town relatives to be sent to an inn by their family. Now, Mary and Joseph were among relatives. They were back in Bethlehem because Joseph was of the house and lineage of David. The problem was there were undoubtedly many relatives back for the government's enrollment. By the time Mary and Joseph arrived, the guest room, the kataluma, was filled. So they had to be placed in the next best place in the family home, which Bailey says would have been the outer room, where the family's animals were brought in for safekeeping during the night. Especially in cold weather, the family livestock was brought into this outer room where they stayed the night and then were led away in the morning, and the room was swept and it was used for other family activities. That's where the manger was, the feed trough for the animals, in this outer room. Some of you who are home for Christmas will sleep tonight on the sofa in the living room or curled up in a sleeping bag elsewhere because there is no appropriate place for you in the guest room. Uncle Oscar from Hoboken commandeered that room before you got there. Well, that was probably the case for Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. Rather than send you to the Best Western because the family loves you so much, they are delighted to have everyone home for Christmas, and they are giving you the honor of sleeping in the playroom. All of this puts the story of that first Christmas in a different light. Jesus was not born in the stable of some cold, impersonal hotel, but rather in the front room of a home where doting aunts and uncles and other random relatives doted on the new baby. For Mary and Joseph, these days among the family must have been peculiarly treasurable. Soon enough, they would be forced to flee for their lives as refugees from the wrath of King Herod. There would be difficult, dark days ahead. But now they were home. Now they were among family. When God incarnate, Jesus, was most frail and vulnerable, a baby, he was cared for in the context of a home, safe among the mundane blessings of a family. Some of you have made incredible efforts to be home for Christmas. You have flown on American Airlines. You have suffered the indignities of I-70. Tonight, even that fold-out sofa bed, the one with the bar running right down the middle and the 2-inch foam mattress, will feel good because you are home. You're home for Christmas. Homelessness is much on our mind. Those folks who will spend this Christmas not at home, but in a homeless shelter, could no doubt tell us a few things about what home really means. Homelessness is, among other things, a metaphor for lots of people. Most of the Bible was written by and for people getting ready to be homeless, in exile, on exile, or coming home after exile. Most of the scripture we read during the preparatory Sundays of Advent are prophets talking about home, homelessness, exile, and homecoming. There's no place like home for the holidays, and that's just not a trite phrase. It's also very, very true. We long to belong. We want some place where we fit. How is that opening song from TV's Cheers put it? Some place where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came? Though it's sort of sad when that place for some is no better than a bar, yet the song suggests that it is as much a state of mind as it is a place. It's where you fit. Christian Morgenstern puts it this way: home is not where you live, but where they understand you. Or, of course, Robert Frost, home is the place where, when you go there, they have to take you in. But more than even all of that, Christmas, as Luke tells it, is not just about Mary and Joseph and coming home, safe in the cataluma of the family. It's not even about your homecoming for Christmas. It's about God, Lord of Lord, King of Kings, Prince of Peace, Savior, coming home. We couldn't get to God, so God got to us, coming among us in this mundane, ordinary family story we cherish as the Nativity. We call the incarnation, this event of somebody sleeping on a fold-out sofa downstairs in the playroom. That somebody is little God with us. Our God came in out of the cold to dwell with us. That's the joy of it. There are not many religions I know which could tolerate this much domesticating of the divine. Most faiths are scandalized by our faith in a God who takes on human flesh and is born among us. One of us, in a manger, in a family's cataluma, as a baby, no less. When we sing, "I'll be home for Christmas," we mean us. When Luke hears the tune, he hears Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, proclaim, "I'll be at your home for Christmas." Why are so many of you here tonight? I'll tell you. Moving right into the middle of your family with its problems and its secrets and its sin and its silliness, the love, the laughter, the little joys of your home, there comes this God. And I think that's why you're here. It's that joy. At the end, in almost the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, it ends in this great gush of joy. See, the home of God is with his people. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them. Home.